Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey guys, it's the Soul Sisters Podcast, and it's my birthday.
It's your birthday. Happy birthday, Jesse.
Thank you, Dara.
It's a good morning.
It is. What a lovely way to start my birthday. Here with you in our studio.
With some cake.
With some cake that you brought me and some booze that you brought me.
Booze for the day.
It's 10 a.m., guys. You got to seize the day when it's your birthday.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
When it's not your birthday.
Always seize the day.
Always.
But especially seize it with booze and cake when it's your birthday.
Yeah. How are you feeling today? I feel wonderful.
I feel really good. Thank you. I feel a little sweaty. I wore too many layers into the office today because it feels a little fall-like.
It feels like fall today.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of weird.
But still sweaty summer a little bit. But other than that, I feel really good. It's like kind of a milestone-ish birthday, 35.
I'm putting
it out there into the universe. I'm 35 years old.
I'm proud.
My friend Andy reminded me that I'm now eligible to be president of the United States. At 35.
Okay.
There are probably other things about me that make me ineligible, but by age alone,
on the agenda?
I was telling you earlier that I had a 5-year plan for myself when I turned 30. Maybe that should be on my 5-year plan for 35.
Jesse for president. I like it.
Yeah, think about it. Jay Katz for president.
Jay Katz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
gotta tell me. You're saying it feels like 30. Like passing that hump of 30 felt better than like 29.
Yes, right. Like,
and that's
29 was
that's
stressful because it was like, oh my god, 30 is coming. And then when I hit 30, I was like, oh no, like I'm ready for this.
Right.
I feel like I've earned all my 30 years, and now when I want to speak with authority about something, or if I want to go after something in my life, I feel confidence to do that because I'm 30.
Right. We've learned, we've done, and now...
Yeah. And so now I've been exercising that for the past 5 years, so now...
I thought you were going to say exercising.
Jeez. No. That will go on this 5-year plan for sure, because it has not been on any previous year's plan. No, but I think then 35 is like, I don't know, maybe it's just more of that, feeling like I've been trying to learn how to move in the world with authority, and I'm getting better at it, and just, I don't know, continuing on with that, I guess, like making my own space and feeling good in it.
All right.
Like yeah.
Well done.
We'll see.
It's a good feeling for your birthday.
I'll keep you guys posted on how it goes. But yeah, it is a good feeling.
Is there a new 5-year plan? Do you always have a 5-year plan at every 5 years?
No, that was my way of combating my anxiety about turning 30.
Okay.
I was like, it's okay because I have a plan.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm going to do all these amazing things in the next 5 years.
And in
besides
those 5 years,
just getting closer to mortality.
Right. Moving back to New York was a big one.
Yeah, so that was huge. No, I mean, just the past year alone, I moved back to New York. I've had lots of changes in my personal life.
We met. I can't believe this is our second year together. Crazy.
Aww, it is.
Wait, second or third?
Well, I was 33 when we met. You spent my birthday with me last year.
Yeah.
We're about to undergo our...
Our second anniversary
premiere of Transparent together.
Yeah.
That's how we measure our time.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, in other news this week,
mm-hmm.
the VMAs happened.
Yeah, I'm slowly making my way through. I DVR.
You're on that DVR life.
Because, hello, it was the same night as Game of Thrones.
Oh, right.
So I finished Game of Thrones and I get on Twitter and I was like, holy shit. Oh, the VMAs are also happening. How are people talking about anything
other than
Game of Thrones right now?
I'm a little behind on Game of Thrones.
Jesus.
By that, I mean like a season and a half. No, I guess two full seasons now. So.
Okay. So you're just not in right now.
I'm not in.
Okay.
So I was all VMAs focused.
Okay.
And so the big moment of the night for me.
Got it. Yeah.
Was Fifth Harmony's performance.
Okay.
Namely.
Haven't made it there yet.
At the very top of their performance. Because, you know, Camila left the group last year. It was a big scandal to Fifth Harmony fans. And so now the girls, the four remaining girls, are constantly having to answer the question, how is it without Camila? Do you talk to Camila? Are you guys still friends? Do you hate each other? They handle it very diplomatically on the red carpet for the VMAs. They were asked again by Charlamagne, like, if you guys win Best Choreography, who are you going to give the fifth statue to? And they were like, oh, we'd give it to our choreographer. You know, like, okay. And I'm like, can we all just move on in life? But then they go to perform two of their new songs. And at the top of their performance, it's like they're all standing up on this thing. And there's the four girls in Fifth Harmony, and then there's a fifth person standing with them.
What?
And right before they start singing, the fifth person falls backwards off the ledge. And then they go into their performance. It was subtle enough that if you weren't paying attention, you would totally miss it, which I did. I totally missed it the first time. And then everyone was texting and messaging, oh my God, that was the shadiest thing that's ever happened. I was like, what? And they were like, there were five silhouettes up on that stage, and the fifth just flew off the fucking pack.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, I can't. So what do you think the vibe was of that? Was it like snarky? Just funny? Like, are they bitter? Like, how are you supposed to take it? It's funny. It sounds funny.
I think that it's, I guess it's like addressing it without having to speak about it. But now I feel like they're going to have to.
It's like passive aggressive or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but now they're going to be asked about it, right? Like, they're coming into our office today. I'm dying to ask them about
it. Well, of course. I mean.
So if you don't want people to talk to you about it and you do that.
Well, maybe it's something to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, but they have a new album out. I would think they would rather just. Anyway, it was
funny.
Great. It was great.
There was some stuff.
Yeah.
It was a packed show.
Yeah, the new weirdness. Taylor video.
The new Taylor video. We could get into a whole thing about
that. Yeah. I'm not going to. I'm going to refrain.
Okay. The one thing that I was sort of up to in this, it's so long. I don't know how anyone watches it without speeding through commercials. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I was so excited to see Julia Michaels, who I had never known about, really. And that was pretty messed up. Just interrupting her and like,
yeah.
Did they interrupt any other performance?
They did.
Is my question. Okay.
They did. Okay. So they had, it was clearly part of the plan because as she starts performing, it says on screen, like, to watch her full performance, go to MTV.com or something.
Okay. So this was not just
it's
a
meant to be a segue
her.
Into a commercial break. They didn't have time for full performances from everybody. Right. I agree. I think maybe better to not do it at all.
Yeah, only because so far I haven't seen that happen to anyone else, and it.
I think it did
the wrong way because I.
It wasn't just her.
Okay.
Yeah, but I know.
Because I'm more interested in seeing that than you know, and it's hard. Everyone wants to see something different, but for me that was.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
I feel you. Yeah, there was a lot.
Fun.
What else? I feel like there's something else. Oh, I mean, this is totally random, but like Paris Jackson presented and got really political, which I thought was cool. And
right.
I
feel do you think
like
that I've was never... off script, off book?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. But I feel like I've never seen her speak. She's also, like, beautiful.
Who is that? I don't even know that.
Michael Jackson's daughter.
Oh, shit. She looks... She's old.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I also, like, have so many questions. Like, is she genetically related to the Jackson family, you think? Like, I...
What
there's
do you mean?
So much... Well, we don't really know... exactly how those children were conceived, do we? I don't know.
I would hope
just because she's so
way.
Like strikingly beautiful.
Right. Well, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean like the Jackson
family?
Yeah. Yeah. But
just looks just sort of a different look.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, just like a multi-ethnic, and she just was so cool, and I thought it was so awesome that she was
she
so
delivered
overtly
that.
Political.
She delivered that well, and
like she said
I'm
Nazis.
Just pretty
skeptical.
Like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm skeptical of how that all works, but I do have to imagine like that script was like you know, you're going to deliver this. How do you feel about it? And how can you do it? Like, someone was going to say those words. That's my, like, skepticism when I watch these things is, like, that's not her choice, but she did deliver it with such passion.
Oh, I 1,000% think it was her choice.
But what do you mean? Does she have a choice? Does she look through scripts and say, I want that one?
I think that people work with the presenters on what they're going to say. Yeah. I don't think they said, Paris, we're going to have you give a political moment in the show.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Well.
There were other political moments, too. Like, right. It wasn't just her.
Well, I like that. I like the idea that it was from her, like, gut, because it felt that way.
Totally.
It was very cool.
Especially, I mean,
someone needed to say that.
Yeah. Like, Katy Perry was very kind of jokey, referential to politics and everything that's happening. Which
in the most, like, surface kind of.
Yeah. It didn't quite do the trick for me. Mm-mm. And then you have people like. So all I will say about Taylor Swift is the world is still waiting for her to say anything about what is happening in the world. Mm-hmm. Because all she has done on her huge, vast platform that could reach billions of people is to wear an I voted sticker.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just weird. And for that first single to be
all completely about
her own, like, drama and celebrity feuding. Well, okay. Yeah, now I'm starting to get into it. But, okay. Anyway. So many things to say.
I would love to talk about it.
When you finish watching
VMAs, when I get through this.
We'll have part two of this conversation. Yeah. Anyway, today's episode.
Yes, tell me about it.
Okay. So Christina Cohn is the lead singer of this band, Frances Cohn, which is named after men in her family. I think, like, her father and grandfather or her grandfather and great-grandfather are named Frances. Her name is Christina. She reached out to me over email, like, a year and a half ago or something when I first started at Billboard, and we've been corresponding back and forth but never actually met. The band came in right before they were going to play our Hot 100 festival, and I snagged some time with her. Unfortunately, you weren't there.
I know.
But Christina and I had already this rapport that had been building up for a while. So it was nice to chill with her. And she's so fucking funny. It was a really loose, like, slightly goofy. But also we got into some real shit conversation because she comes from a very religious background, which she's kind of disassociated herself from. And she's very politically outspoken. And
nice.
Yeah. It was very interesting. Anyway, yeah, so I think you'll enjoy this. Dara, I think you'll also enjoy listening to this conversation. And more VMA talk to be continued.
Ongoing,
as always. Okay, so here you go, guys. Christina Cohn from Frances Cohn.
Yes.
Okay, we're rolling, by the way.
Oh, nice.
So it's already happening.
Awake.
I saw my mother this weekend. I'm not a person that tans very easily. I mean, I'm not a dark-skinned person. Okay, we all are aware of the fact that I'm Jewish and I'm fair skinned, but when I go to the beach, like, I can get a little sun on me. So I was at the beach for a week, and then I saw my mother this weekend, and one of the first things she says to me is, where's your tan?
Oh god.
And I was just like, really? Like, why does it occur to you to immediately
criticize what you look
criticize
like?
Yeah.
And
my mom would have done the opposite. She'd have been like, why are you tan?
Oh, right.
Don't you know?
Well, if she had noticed the tan or a sunburn, then she would have been like, did you use sunscreen? Like, Mom, I'm in my 30s, so whether I did or didn't, I'm not going to discuss that with you. These conversations need to go.
I know. My mom and I had a whole, like, hour-long conversation on the definition of unsolicited advice.
And?
She was like,
what's the consensus?
Well, she forgets. She just will. She'll do it again the next day. So it was pointless.
Oh, like she gave you some unsolicited advice.
My advice was, if you have to preface something with, "This is unsolicited advice," but then, like, maybe don't say that thing.
Right. Or like, I know you're not asking me, but
Don't. So don't do it.
Yeah, there are a lot of versions of that.
And she was like, "Well, I'm just telling you how I feel, and you can choose to take it or not." And I was like, no, that's still a thing I can that's, like, still in the advice portion of me asking you.
Right.
You know, like, bringing it up. And then you can tell me stuff, and then I can take it or leave it.
They're so annoying. Does it turn you into the 16-year-old version of yourself?
Yes,
that just
I'm
wants
an
to
asshole.
Rage? Me too.
And I hate it.
You know what I did when my mom said that about my tan? Like, 10 minutes later, I was like, Mom, come over here. I, like, pulled her into the bathroom, and I, like, lifted up my shirt to show her the tan line I had gotten because I had to prove her wrong. And then I immediately felt ashamed of myself. Like, I have to let these things go.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so hard, though.
I know.
She, at the end of that conversation, she was like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but she was like, I'm so sad that, or not even sad. Sad wasn't the word. I don't know what the word was, but she was like, I regret that I won't be alive to see how you deal with your adult children.
Wow.
I was like, am I so horrible that you want me to watch me later experience this?
There are so many levels to that.
I know. Well, first of all, she's not planning to be around.
Right. Either she thinks she's going to meet an early demise, or she thinks that you're going to be so later into your life having children.
I think she thinks both of those things.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think about those things?
I think I'll have kids.
What is your birthing plan? That's really this podcast is about.
I've been waiting to be asked this question.
How many do you want to have? Are we going to do a doula?
I want one.
Home birth, hospital.
I want one in my late 30s.
Okay.
And I hope that he or she has a minor speech impediment.
Like what kind?
Well, I want to tell you what I want to name it the same name, boy or girl. I can't tell you right now, but I'll tell you it later.
I want you to tell me, but I think you should never say them out loud.
Well, I tell people all the time.
Really?
But like friends who already have kids and are.
Okay, that's safe.
But I want, because of the R in the name and it's a really short name, I just like can't get over wanting my future child to have a speech impediment. Just for a little while.
Is it Rory?
No, I can't say that myself.
Rory. That's actually cruel. I can't say Rory. That sounds like.
What if you, oh my God, I've never thought about that. People who name their kids.
It's tough.
Rory.
Rory. It makes everyone feel like they have a speech impediment.
Yeah.
By the way, not that there's anything wrong with having a speech impediment.
No, I mean, I'm
aiming for it. We all
speak
differently. Yeah, you're gunning for it.
If I have a gay child with a speech impediment, I'll be
winning. First.
I'm really. Is that okay to say?
I hope that your mom's around to see that, I have to say.
Me too.
I hope she's wrong to see you fighting with that
my adult child.
Yeah. Christina, welcome to Soul Sisters.
Thank you.
I think that's the best intro we've ever had to the show. You and I are old email buddies.
Yeah.
We've been exchanging little notes back and forth over the internet.
Transparent.
That's right.
Yeah.
What did you tweet? How did this start? You've got my email? I don't remember. I should have looked this up before
maybe
we
tweeted
started.
At you.
Yeah.
I don't tweet at anyone though, so that's a funny thing for me to do.
But you know, that's how my co-host who couldn't be here today, Dara, that's how she and I met, was on Twitter. That's the only other Twitter friend I have. So it's good that you're not both here, because that would have been awkward to have this conversation in front of her.
Yeah, I feel pretty jealous of her.
No, you've replaced her now. It's official. She's not here. This is what happens when she misses a day.
Just kidding.
Mm-hmm. And I embarrassingly kept calling you Francis in the emails that I kept sending you.
That's not embarrassing. My email is not. It like has from Francis Cole.
Yes. Like, I'm generally capable of understanding that someone's name is not necessarily the same as their band name.
Yeah,
even though yours, like, lends itself to confusion along those lines. Yeah. But also, yes, the email said Francis Cone in my inbox.
I don't blame anyone for that. I'm shocked if someone calls me Christina.
Yeah.
I think, wow, that's a researcher.
Okay, well, here
what
we are.
What is this person, a scientist? Yeah. See, that's, I'm going to listen to me saying that later and think, oh, she thinks she's being funny.
You are being funny.
But I think I'm going to hate it.
No. Don't judge your own level of comedy while we're recording this podcast.
This is
hold it until later.
Okay.
If I laugh, it's funny because I'm a bad fake laugher.
But I'll be like, oh, she's full of herself. She's saying that because she thinks it'll be funny. I'm sorry.
Wow. Should we talk about this? What is this insecurity?
I think it's because my brother's really good at interviews.
Okay.
And I don't think I'm as good at them. And so I get in my head.
Yeah. I think this is fascinating that performers can feel awkward about public speaking. I know in my head that they're different things, but to me, who doesn't enjoy or is not great at doing either, I feel like if you can do one, you're probably better at the other than you think.
Like this is okay.
Okay.
I've done some videos. I think I'm holding the mic really weird. You know when
now
like
really
everybody was doing a pledge music thing like that? I mean, they're still great. That's still a great company. People still do them. But we did one once and there were like 10 people around and or maybe more. And they were filming and it was like we were trying to make it really professional because they told us to. And he was like, okay, go. And I was like, I literally couldn't say a word. Like, I couldn't make myself talk. I couldn't be like, hi, we're Francis Cone. Welcome to our pledge music. We're trying to make an album. Like, whatever. I couldn't do anything.
Has that been a lifelong problem? Of what is that? Stage fright? What is that?
I don't know.
Do you get stage fright with singing?
I eat a banana, and it makes me not so nervous.
Really? Wait, is this like a known trick?
Well, I did it because when I get nervous, I swallow a lot.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, I should swallow something besides air, because then if I just swallow air, then I burp the whole show.
Right.
And so, like, I'm doing it right now, but it doesn't matter.
I feel like I'm going to burp now. Here you talk about it
again. Yeah, I know. It's really bad to get in any slightly compulsive person's brain that this is a thing that you could possibly do for your body when you're nervous. Yeah. It's bad. Anyway, so I
write. You're, like, triggering all of my personal anxieties right now.
I know.
Now.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
But where are the bananas? It's okay.
We can go get you some bananas.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay.
See, mine is like a shallow breathing thing. Like, I'll start doing shallower breathing, and then I'll realize I'm doing it, and then I constrict even more, so then it gets even shallower. And the only trick for me to get out of that is to walk, because it makes my body take my breathing back over.
Oh, that's nice.
I can't do that right now, so.
You figured it
out,
though.
Just work through it together.
Yeah, we'll be okay. I'll swallow. Okay. You'll be like... Those are funny sounds.
Yeah. What's the name of that disorder for people who are, like, really triggered by certain sounds? Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. But especially.
Yeah, that.
Those sounds. Yeah. And people get, like, my ex-boyfriend has it.
Really?
Yeah. Is that weird?
But is it that. Okay. Now, tell me if I'm misremembering it. But is it that it turns people on, or they're disgusted by it? It turns them on.
I think that it's a combo of both, maybe.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Just really gets them.
So we might be triggering people right now who have it for swallowing and
shallow
breathing.
I'm
going to
stop doing it. I just heard it. I'm going to stop doing it.
All right, let's change subjects.
Okay. Wait, did I say anything I need to explain?
Oh.
Like, I really love my mom.
Stage fright. Uh-huh. Oh, you want to go all the way back?
No.
This is going to be like
concentric
circles of a conversation. Yeah, we love our mothers.
Yeah.
We can criticize them and love them at the same time.
Yeah, it's okay.
Lord knows they do that about us.
So. Yeah, she definitely loves me.
Yeah. And definitely criticize
so much that she cannot sit idly by.
Yeah, there you go.
While I ruin my life.
Are you ruining your life?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
I think I'll be okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Oh, my brother's good at interviews. That's we were. And then we were at stage fright.
Yes, which you don't have except for the swallowing thing.
Except for the swallowing, and then a banana's okay.
And then you're good to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Banana and, like, if I'm really going for it. Not if I'm really going for it. Who am I? That's a lie. I'll have, like, two glasses of wine.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And original rock and roller here.
Mm-hmm. And then I take my white wine to the stage and I set it down. And then I never touch it again.
Really?
During the show. It's weird. I don't know why I take it there.
But it makes you feel better to have it there.
Like, if something bad happens, I'll just chug it down. Yeah. I don't know.
Get that edge off real quick. Except it doesn't work that fast.
No, it's wine. It's white wine.
Like, 5 minutes later, you'd be like, oh, okay, I'm relaxed now.
At the end, like, when I'm off stage.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's talk about music stuff. Mm. You have a new single out today? Is that right?
We do.
That's cool. It's really pretty. I like it.
Thanks.
Congrats.
It's nice.
You let NPR premiere it, so I'm, like, a little bitter about that. Because I got to premiere your last one.
I know.
That was fun.
But then, like, what do I do now?
What do you mean? After Billboard and NPR?
Yeah.
You peaked?
Maybe. Should I quit?
Yeah.
Mic's up. See you guys.
Wait, I want to talk about this new single, though. Unraveling.
Like, Pitchfork would never like me, so there's really nowhere else to go.
And where else would you want to go?
Pitchfork is... I'm too nice.
Oh.
You know what I mean? They like edgy stuff and people.
Yeah. There is definitely an earnestness to your music.
That they would
not like. In a bad way. Like, I feel like I'm very sensitive to overly earnest stuff.
Me too.
Yeah. But yours is just, like, relatable earnestness. Yeah.
I'm definitely on the line. A straddle.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a lot of emotions in your music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just, like, little things that would send it over the edge that I had to control.
Yeah? Like what? Lyrically?
It used to be acoustic guitar. I was like, that's never going to...
Yeah. Okay.
So, but there's a little bit of acoustic in our new song.
That's true. Your sound has definitely evolved. Like, from the first album. Even from the first album to the EP, I can hear it. I feel like the EP was almost closer to what you are now. Mm-hmm. And that was only... Well, I don't know what the difference was in time between when you recorded those two things. They only came out a year apart, right?
Yeah, I think it was about a year.
Yeah. So what changed to make that sound, make that jump?
Well, I think the first... I think the first album was just me trying my fucking best.
Yeah.
I was just like, I can write some songs. I don't know what to do with them.
Uh-huh.
And I saw Lucius when it was just the girls and Danny Millad at the cake shop.
Okay.
And the, I mean, they were like not, they were like a semblance of Lucius, but they were like, I think they both had on like winter beanies, and like Danny was standing up playing drums, so it's just the three of them. And I looked at Danny and I was like, if that guy makes songs with other people, then I hope that it's me. So I emailed him, and he was like, yeah, I produce records. And so then I would just take him like mostly finished songs, but like skeleton songs, and we made that whole thing together. I'm really proud
of
it.
That's amazing. Yeah. He agreed to do it on the basis of what?
I have no idea.
You guys just like vibe?
Maybe
something?
He didn't. Maybe he was broke.
Yeah. Maybe.
No, I don't think
it was more
broke.
Than that.
I think I got him to see me live because I hadn't.
Okay.
Didn't have anything recorded. So I got him to come to a show.
So you were just like a New York artist, like gigging around
out in the wild.
Could. Yeah.
Trying to like
were
get
you Brooklyn?
Rockwood to email me back.
Where were you living?
Brooklyn.
What kind of New York artist were you? Okay, Brooklyn.
Williamsburg, but like the Montrose stop.
Do you want to explain to people listening who aren't from here why you felt like you needed to say the Montrose stop?
Because Bedford, for the, I mean, I've lived here for 11 years, but
okay,
Bedford, even 11 years ago, was like, I like, what an asshole. I would feel like if I moved here and I like, because it's too fancy.
It is very fancy.
The Montrose stop, when I moved there 11 years ago, had one coffee shop called the Cyber Cafe, and it didn't have the internet.
Whoa. And there you go.
It was painted purple, and I was the only one who ever went there just on hopes that that day they might have it.
The look on Kate's face, Kate, who is still in college, by the way, when you said didn't have internet, it was like she had never heard that phrase before. Your face just contorted.
It's
like, it was amazing.
A cyber cafe is supposed to have internet.
Yeah.
And then this one doesn't have internet. Like, that's what blew my mind.
And there, I didn't have a smartphone. I had a flip phone and a huge laptop that was way too heavy to carry around.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I went, do you remember that bar on, where do you live?
I live in Bushwick.
Oh. Do you know the bar on Bedford that used to have 2-for-1 Yinglings and the internet? And it's not there anymore. It's like definitely not there anymore. I don't even know what it's called.
I don't know.
But I would go in there even though I don't really like Yinglings.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And look for apartments.
That's what we did in those early days in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You go to where those drink specials are.
Yep.
And you lug all your heavy technology around.
And you think, what did I do?
Yeah.
My mom was right.
Yeah, wait, where did you grow up?
In South Carolina.
Oh, okay. So you came from there to here?
Mm-hmm.
No stops in between?
No stops.
Did you come for school or?
I came right after music? School.
Right after school. To make it as a musician.
God, I don't even know. I mean, I don't think I thought about it. I think it was like after middle school, you go to high school and then you go to college and then
you go to New York.
I don't know why. I mean,
that's what I did too. I'm from Ohio and it was the same.
Yeah.
So you just kind of always wanted to go to New York.
I guess. I got here and I was like, what's happening? Why am I here?
Yeah. Had you come when you were a kid to visit?
We came for my brother's graduation from high school and then we came again for mine.
Okay. Like a family trip to celebrate.
And we did. We saw 5 Broadway shows both times. Whoa. And they were both, all of them were because we sat in line at 6 in the morning for those cheap tickets.
Yeah.
And then we saw a bunch of shows and sat on the front row where you know how they're like right up front. You can't really see.
Yeah. I have too much anxiety to sit in that front row because I'm like, what if I have a coughing fit? I will ruin the show. I'll stop it.
I always think I'll say something. It's like a weird fear of Tourette's that I don't have. I think I'll be like
you'll respond. Well, I have been to the theater with people who will react vocally to something that happens on stage, like, oh my God, or like, I can't believe it. And I'm like, you know, this is not real, right? Like, you can't believe it. It's a story that someone wrote that they're acting out on stage.
You can believe it.
Anything could happen. Someone wrote it. Yeah. Okay. So you knew the city from that tourist point of view.
Yes.
Yes. Like all the bright lights, big city kind of stuff. And then you showed up. Did you know anybody? Like, were you crashing with anybody when you moved here?
I stayed with my friend Liz, whose roommate had a padlock on her bedroom door where the internet was.
Wait, what?
She like had a big desktop. Uh-huh. I guess this sounds like it was like 1983, but she had like a lock on her door and no one was allowed to use the internet, so I had to go out into the world and
we were because it was her computer.
Yeah,
I remember those days.
Yeah.
Tough times. I moved to New York with a laptop that couldn't get internet. Like, sometimes your computers just got old and they couldn't do
they
it
stopped
anymore.
Doing it.
Yeah, so we'd all have to use, like, the one roommate's computer that could do it. Yeah. Okay, so you're in Washington Heights.
We're really old.
We're old guys.
We were in Washington Heights, and there wasn't, like, I didn't have anywhere to go around there, so I just ended up in Williamsburg one day. I went to that restaurant, See?
Yeah.
And I was like,
the Thai place?
I'll live here. Yeah. This seems fine.
Wait, that's so I remember when I first moved to Brooklyn, I lived in Park Slope. And I had some friends that lived in Williamsburg. And when we went to visit them, we would only ever go to C because they said, I don't know if it's true, but they said it was the restaurant that was in Garden State.
Yes. That's why I went there first, too.
So it was like the only thing that was cool in Williamsburg because it was still like industrial and weird then. But it was like, oh, the Garden State restaurant. Okay.
I went there during the day and it was like really beautiful and earthy and there's like a fountain in the middle. And then my parents came to visit and I took them for dinner thinking that's what it was at night.
No.
It is like at night, it's like,
it's a scene.
And like tight dresses and loud music. And my parents were like, oh no. Just kidding. They don't talk like that. Wait, they are very Southern, but.
Do they have accents?
Oh, I can't hear them, but they apparently have really strong accents.
Did you have one?
I have one sometimes.
Okay. Still. Did you intentionally lose it?
No.
It just got lost.
It just got lost.
After living here for a while?
Yeah. I mean, I think I could, like, when my brother doesn't have one either, when we get together, we like to have them for fun.
Okay.
But otherwise, no.
What about when you're drunk?
When I'm drunk, I have one.
Yeah.
Or there are certain words that I can't correctly say.
Like, can you think of one? I'm trying to think of, like, drawer. Is that one of those weird?
I still say, like, cut the light out and put
like
it up.
Idioms.
For, like, a way.
Yeah.
I taught a bunch of little kids to play the piano in Brooklyn, and it took them years to tell me they didn't know what I meant when I said put it up.
That's so cute.
They were like, you know, we don't actually put it up, right? And I was like, yeah, I can't believe you just told me that.
Wait, so you were teaching while you were playing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still teaching?
I'm not.
What's the day job status?
I don't know. No more day job?
That's great.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrifying.
When were you able to stop with that?
In June.
Really? Yeah. Congrats.
Thanks. That's such
I feel
a
like
milestone.
I'll probably have to get another one. No,
you,
I don't.
Wait,
think
had you stopped at any point and then resumed?
I mean, every time we went on tour, I stopped. Yeah, okay. Like I would stop during the summers.
So
and my day job
teaching...
was like from like 2 to 4. So okay. It's not like I like went to an office. My day job was very manageable.
It was as a music teacher?
Like at my house.
Oh, that's awesome.
I made
awesome.
Up a class for these little girls. There are 7 little girls that came to my house on Mondays.
How old?
8 to 10. Okay. But they started like a long time ago. So they were like 5 when they started.
Okay.
And I would teach them a song. Like for instance, I would teach them Jolene. And then we talked about how women see women and competition, and 8 to 10-year-olds have a lot of good stuff to say about competition and what they think an ideal woman is. And so then they would go and do art, and while they did art, which was always like topical, like they would like draw Jolene or, you know, or paint her or whatever. And then I would teach little tiny piano lessons to the other kids while they did their art.
It That's was amazing.
2.5 hours, and I love it.
What lessons did you learn from them? Like talking about how they see women.
Just that it starts so young. I mean, I knew that. Like, I remember feeling competitive in the second grade with this little girl, Cecilia. I was like, oh, she's so pretty. I want to be like her.
Were you guys friends, you and Cecilia?
No, I became friends with her best friend. I don't know. It was weird.
elementary school politics.
Kids are weird.
Yeah. So would you try to correct what you were hearing back from these girls?
I did a lot of trying to correct in the moment in front of a group.
Yeah. Like we all need to have each other's backs kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, that was
like
my main thing.
They received that information? Like they could process that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think so. We did like, we would like stand in a circle at the end and you'd say something kind to the person to your right. In the last, very last class, I was like, okay, let's, like, say something kind about the person to our right, and then, I can't remember, this is not interesting at all, and then tell her one piece of encouragement, and so then it started out, like, normal, and then it got to the fourth little girl, and she was like, okay, so, blah, blah, blah is really pretty and funny, and then if I have any advice for her, I would say – and I know she goes, if I have any constructive criticism. And I was like, no, 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 no. That's not what we're doing here. So I had to nip that in the bud. Anyway.
I mean, you're basically working against what the rest of society is telling them. So that's no small job for one person.
Yeah, I tried.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your Southern feminism. Does that come from your mom?
No.
No?
They'll never listen to this. No, I'm a Southern Baptist preacher's daughter.
Wow. Go on.
And so I think that was partly why I really like the class, though, because I feel so strongly about a lot of the things that I learned, but sans Jesus. But I like we were taught to be so kind and all those things, and and I like weekly rituals still, and like I really love it. And we didn't have like a, it wasn't a negative experience.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe it anymore, and I feel sad when people do. So mean. Yeah. But like I don't know.
People who are like strict to biblical stories.
Like
that
just
kind of
like
stuff.
The 100%. This is
right.
Absolutely the truth. And,
yeah.
But then on the other hand, like I want my 71-year-old mother to believe in heaven because it gives her a lot of hope, and so I don't want to argue that with her.
Right.
But I also like personally can't believe it. Like I want to. That sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I want to like go live somewhere awesome forever. It also sounds really overwhelming to live forever, but.
I know.
You know, it's such a nice idea, and I want to have that verse. That's the one thing, like, we definitely don't ever – I mean, we can argue religion and choices and stuff, but I'm never like, Mom, you know, heaven is fucking made up.
Right. Well, that's my thing about it. It's like anything that sounds so perfect, then it's like, well, of course that's what we all want to believe.
Yeah.
But, like, it's probably too good to be true.
So comforting. I mean, and maybe they're somewhere. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
But
that's my final answer on everything religion.
Yeah, me
Who
too.
Who the fuck knows? I don't know.
Who knows? I'm definitely not an atheist, but I definitely don't think that we know.
Right.
And I want, I don't know. I'm currently having such a hard time with that culture because it seems so opposite politically than what, like, I believe Jesus and who that guy was in the Bible. And, like, so if you're into that guy, then, like, you better get your ass out on the streets and march for social justice and Black Lives Matter and all the things, you know?
Right.
And so that
like, you must feel like that religion, the parts of the religion that you enjoy is being hijacked.
Yeah, it's being hijacked.
Right. By the political right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by Fox News, like,
yeah.
And it's such a cancer. Fox News is such a cancer.
So I wanted to ask you, I kind of had a feeling about your politics because your Twitter feed makes it pretty clear. I'm assuming that.
I don't think I have any ideas, so I just retweet.
I'm assuming. No, I'm the same. I mostly retweet.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, everyone else is saying it better than me.
So much better. Like, yeah. Who? That's not my talent. My right. brother has a good one. I'm like in love with my brother on this podcast.
Yeah, I know. Your answer to everything. I'm terrible at it. My brother is perfect
He's
at
really
it.
Good at it. He makes movies, and he makes really good movies about how we grew up, and they're also loving. Yeah.
What kind of movies? I mean, what do you mean?
Like
narrative film? Mm-hmm. What is... Oh. Is he a writer-director?
Mm-hmm.
Has he made anything that we might have seen or heard, or where would we find them?
His most popular one, I think... I don't know what he would say. He talked about Henry Gamble's birthday party in the New York Times last year. And that was, so I think maybe that's the most popular one.
Okay.
And they're at good film festivals and stuff. And then he has a new one called Princess Sid. I should be his publicist.
Yeah, you should. Tell us about it.
And it's going to be in the London Film Festival in like a month or so.
That's amazing.
Which is a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's cool. A really great movie. And then they're all like very loving, they're loving, but they're critical, lovingly critical movies of our childhood.
Wow. So all centered on a family?
Centered around religious people.
Got it. Okay. So it sounds like your brother's working things out in his art. Do you feel like you're doing that in your songwriting? Like stuff specifically born out of your experience growing up in your family?
I think
some of your
maybe.
Songs could be read as a little autobiographical themes anyway.
Yeah. They're also I feel like I'm really bad at talking about my music.
Yeah,
as a
which
whole.
Is fine. And
like
you
if like you
to.
Were like there's one song like
okay, well, let me ask you about
not you. Like you're doing a great job.
I'm going to accept this challenge. No. I could be better.
Okay.
Leave Without You. You said it was about the possibility of leaving New York when I talked to you about it.
Yeah.
You didn't leave New York.
Well, sort of. Our van's currently packed. Isn't that crazy?
Packed? Like, about to move?
Yeah. We moved.
You did? This is so funny because when was that? When did that song come out? Like, in March? And you were like, we haven't decided. I don't want to say that it's that we left New York, but we don't know what's going on.
We did it.
You did it.
We were sort of, so we were going on tour for a month.
Uh-huh.
It was a great tour. It was like, can't turn it down. Like one of the first tours that I didn't have to plan myself.
Amazing.
And I was gonna have this is boring. Basically, our landlord like raised our rent to like $3,400 a month. So we were like, we can't live in
Who's
New York
we?
And tour. My boyfriend and I, Andy, who is the guitar / bass player in the band.
Got it. Okay.
He's very nice.
Is he?
Yeah.
Nicer like than your him. Brother. Sorry, that's gross. That's a weird question.
It's funny. Well, that's a whole other thing we get into.
Oh.
I mean, no. I was just – it's so fun. I was with Andy for so long. We were together 24/7. We're in this band. Uh-huh. We travel. We live together. All the stuff. And then I left like a week ago. This isn't a thought I've really thought through. So it might come
Yes, we're working it out here.
We're working it out. I left like a week ago, and it was like, ooh. You know when you're with someone so much, you have to rediscover your personality?
Yeah.
But I didn't really have to because I went right home and I was with my brother.
Okay.
Who is the only other person that I behave like I'm like so silly and, you know, just like total 100% comfort in somebody that gets you and like believes the same things as you and
uh-huh.
treats people or you has like the same goals to treat people the way you want to treat people, you know? So like, I'm so comfortable. So I didn't have to make the transition, but he did. He, when I saw him again a week later, he was like, yeah, I had like kind of a hard time. I was like, it's like, I had to like refigure out who I was for a second, which is a funny thing to do.
Did that make you want to approach your relationship a little differently? Were you like, oh, that's, I should probably keep sense of moving. Myself.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a total sense of a loss of yourself. I think it's like you just move through the world more comfortably.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Oof. That makes sense. So you guys were living together.
Do I sound like a 1950s housewife who has no identity?
No, that's real.
I don't think that is what I mean.
No, that's not what you mean. I mean, look, a lot of it is just like,
it's just,
I think it's more about like habit and behavior, and mm-hmm. it's not identity, but it's just like the way that you're used. Yeah, because there is a difference between moving through the world where you're the only person that you have to worry about.
Yeah.
And everything you're doing is for yourself. You're going to this movie for you. You're going out to dinner with these people because they're your friends or whatever.
Yeah.
When that's not your life because you're in a serious relationship with someone that you live with, your life looks different than that.
Looks different.
Yeah. And so your behaviors are going to be shaped around that. I mean, that's just how it works.
Yes.
That's how human beings work.
And we do that as a band, too. Like, it's not just the two of us. Like, we'll, like, if we have a really far distance to drive, mm-hmm. after like 2 days we'll get out and like have to talk to the band we're opening for or talk to the people at the venue, and we're just all like, I got nothing. Like all of our inside jokes that we think are funny to everyone else, we're like, oh no, shit. Like I went through this thing on tour where I would look in the mirror and just be like, I'm so pretty today, which is like definitely not a thing I was thinking. It was because I looked so horrible. Then I would just be like, oh, I'm so pretty. And I would be like, oh, yeah, Christina, you're so pretty today. And then I like got to a venue once and I was like, guys, I'm so pretty today. And I was like, oh, no, they think it's real.
Did you correct?
Well, I tried. I think I might have let it ride. I don't really remember. I just remember thinking like, God, they were just such an asshole.
We should all say that about ourselves.
Yeah, and then I thought, that is a nice thing to say to yourself.
It is.
In the car mirror that shows, like, this much of your face.
I think it's like they say if you make yourself smile, you'll feel happier. It's like if you tell yourself you look pretty, you'll feel prettier.
While smiling, double whammy.
Yeah,
wow. Trick your brain.
You feel happy and pretty. Okay, I think we have to wrap up soon, which is sad. Because I want to do this for a long time.
Me too.
So I need to make sure we talk about things we need to talk about, which is like, when the hell is your album coming out?
Because all these songs. Where are you from?
Me?
Stuff like that.
Nah. That feels very That's when excited. We have that drink that we said we were going to have for the last
year. Oh, Ohio. You said that already. Yeah, Ohio, and then you came here.
Yeah. Okay. When's your album coming out? Don't dodge the question.
Well, I'd like to further dodge it.
Okay. No, is it still inside of this year?
I think so. I hope so. So what happened was we recorded all this music in Nashville, and then we put...
Wait, where did you move to?
We haven't been there yet. So we moved out of our apartment. We're moving to Nashville.
Okay.
You can
moving to Nashville.
Well, because you can tour so easy from there. You can't live here and tour. We bought a tour van. Where will it go?
Yeah.
Are you from Nashville?
No, I want to move to Nashville.
Oh, you should.
Like it's the place to be.
That's the goal that I want to go to. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, go. Come on.
I'll go with you guys.
Also,
we have – it's a 15-passenger van, so bring 14 of your closest friends.
Let's go.
No, just kidding. It has our sofa in it, but we do have three seats.
Christina, when are we going to hang out? Oh, my God. This is stressful. When are you moving? You're already gone, basically.
On
That's
Sunday.
What your eyes are telling me.
We have a sofa in our van and, like, clothes for a few months because we're going to go and live in a funny little apartment where there's a pool because I think that sounds fun.
In Nashville?
Mm-hmm, while we look for a house.
Are you leaving from the Hot 100 Festival?
Yes.
Did you just say you're leaving on Sunday?
We're leaving right after we play, and we're driving through the night because we want to see the eclipse.
Oh, my God.
Because it goes through Nashville.
That's amazing.
So right, Andy's going to take an Adderall, and I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, good plan.
Because that was – I don't care about it that much. Honestly, I think it sounds like a scary movie. But
the eclipse?
Yeah, it doesn't sound scary.
Plus, you have to have those special glasses.
Like, yeah. No one's going to be prepared to actually look at this thing.
No, everyone's going to be blind on August 22nd.
Yeah. Like, ophthalmologists are going to have a big field day the day after that.
I hope they're clearing their schedules.
Can't really fix blindness, but I don't know. Or maybe we can. The government probably knows how at this point.
Yeah, probably, but they aren't going to tell anyone. They're not telling
us. Your album might come out this year.
Okay,
you're going to be back in Nashville where you make all the magic happen.
So, yeah.
So, signs are pointing to.
So, we put Arizona out, and then it just did really well. We didn't know what to do. We were like, oh, well, maybe someone else will want to put the album out, and we won't do it by ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And so, that's a really long process, it turns out.
Yeah.
But I think it's almost done.
Okay.
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. Knock on Formica.
Literally no wood in this room.
Paper
probably works.
I got you. Okay.
Books. I don't know. It feels like it might work out soon.
Okay.
We did a tiny desk.
Oh, yeah. I saw a picture of that.
Yeah. It's not nice. I hope that we did good. We haven't seen it. But
you guys are awesome live. I'm sure it was amazing.
I think it felt like diving off a diving board. I don't remember
really?
Any of it. I was just like.
You blacked out.
I could see Bob Boylan and to the corner of my eye with a hat on and a yellow shirt. And he hung out with us all day. He like came downstairs. We thought he was just going to send down like a rolly cart with an intern or something.
Yeah.
Nope. He showed up himself, pushed all our stuff around, loaded up the car with
That's
us.
That's amazing.
He's so nice.
That's great.
It was really fun. Anyway, I think that someone else will release it.
Okay. Does it have the same title?
Yeah, because it just like becomes more relevant. Late riser.
Yeah,
it's like the later and later it gets.
That's so true.
It's like
it's gonna be like a zombie is the cover art. like rising after you're dead.
Yeah,
yeah.
The clock's just ticking away.
Perfect. Well, I mean, you keep putting out these amazing singles, and with That's streaming, it's like I want an album because I want more music. But in the meantime, it's not like I don't have. Okay. Thanks. Could you guys hear that? She whispered it, but we're going to turn the audio up so you definitely heard that. All right.
I love this tea. I mean.
Good job, Kate.
Yay.
I hope you enjoy your move to Nashville. I hope you have fun down there.
Thanks.
If you get re-religious, Cece Winans was on this podcast telling us about her church that she leads down there with her husband. You know, the gospel singer from the Winans family?
Yeah. Oh, I know Cece Winans. Our new drummer, we have new drummer Aaron Hamill. He's so wonderful, and he grew up like me. So I've never had anyone in the band like that.
Okay.
So we just can nerd out about like Christian gospel? Contemporary.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's this guy named Carmen. I don't know if any of you grew up like this. You did not. Who was like basically like a performance artist who played a grand piano and sang Christian songs. And just like out of the blue on tour last time, Aaron was like, do you remember Carmen? And I was like, oh my God, I don't know. Thought about Carmen and so long. Anyway, I know Cece Winans.
I really want to check out her church.
I mean, I still sometimes will go and be like, oh, either this is why I don't go anymore or I miss it so much. I feel so much kinder when I leave. But I feel that kind when I leave yoga too.
Oh, there you go.
So,
if you don't want your Jesus on a given morning, you can always go for a little downward dog.
I really want a very liberal church, but they're really hard to find.
They are.
Because there's the whole sin part.
I think you can find one in Nashville now.
Maybe.
It's people like you were moving here, there, though. So. Yeah, I know. It's true.
And it's New York.
Yeah, because it's like all or nothing.
Yeah, it's either Jesus died for your sins and then he was brought back to life. And believe, and there's like the guilt part. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
But I'm into like, let's treat each other so kindly and all of that. So nice.
We need that right now.
Yeah.
What are you doing to keep your soul okay? I guess I'm trying to ask, like, what's your self-care these days with all this crazy shit that's happening in our country?
Do you ever listen to On Being? With Krista Tippett.
Oh, the
podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That really helps me out. Kind of feels like church.
Yeah.
Okay.
Christina's going to end our podcast by plugging another podcast, so I just want
to
know.
And then I get I do get my anger out also with Pot Save America.
Yeah.
Listen to that one.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. those boys.
Yeah, those are great. I mean, I think that's what it is very cathartic just to hear other people talking about it and to be like, yeah that's how I feel, but you're saying it more eloquently than me.
You're
like
the
retweet thing.
Slightly more informed.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, or exponentially more informed depending on who you're listening to. But
yeah. And then, like, the next time you try to have that conversation with somebody, you're going to, like, poorly paraphrase them, but still feel a little bit smarter for it. Yeah.
You're, like, my most clever friend at a bar, and I don't have to talk back.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's nice.
Maybe people feel like that after listening to you on this podcast.
Oh, I don't think that they will.
I don't know. Let's read the comments. Guys, let us know what you thought.
That's nice. Do you think I said it? I've said that's nice a lot. My friend Sarah says, she's British. She's always like, oh, that's nice. So now I say it, but it doesn't sound quite.
You got to say it with your South Carolina
That's
accent.
Nice. Yes. That was horrible.
That sounded nice to me.
Okay.
All right. You feel okay about this?
Do you?
I feel great about it. Okay. Time flew. I think that's the best sign.
Okay. I'm only a little bit wondering if I sounded like my identity is trapped up in my boyfriend.
I think we clarified that.
We did. Yeah, we clarified it.
I think I clarified it for you.
Yeah.
So now your identity is wrapped up in me.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it is.
I'm proud of that. I feel good about that.
I feel good about it, too. I think we did good.
I did, too.
I had a nice time.
Yeah, girl.
It's nice to see your face.
You, too. To the right one for
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.